branding, experience, conversation, promotion. Powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power, power to the power. Small business.
This is episode number 89 of Power to the Small Business. My name is Jay Arrett. I am Dean of Marketing Know-How at themarketingspot.com. Our guests today are two of the co-authors of The Passion Conversation. And this is about how to get people not just talking about your business, but talking passionately about your business. So let's meet our guests, co-authors of The Passion Conversation. Joining us now on the line are Gino Church and John Moore from Brains on Fire. Give us each a short introduction about what you do and what you're about at Brains on Fire.
Hey, Jay. I'm John Moore, and my title here at Brains on Fire is Chief of Wahoo. Say that real fast. Chief of Wahoo. My responsibility is basically helping our clients grow their business and also with the responsibilities to help make sure that folks here within Brains on Fire tribe grow as leaders. And I've been at Brains on Fire since January of 2013.
Hey, Jay, it's Gino. My title is not as cool as John's. It's the Word of Mouth Inspiration Officer. I kind of try to lead the team through digging in with our clients and their customers and trying to understand the conversations and how we can bring that to life online and offline and find the magic and the values that both parties share.
Both of you co-wrote a book along with Robin Phillips and Greg Cordell called The Passion Conversation, Understanding, Sparking, and Sustaining Word of Mouth Marketing. So as a point of reference, what is The Passion Conversation? So we can start from there.
This is the second book from Brains on Fire. Back in the first one, there was a very popular line that talked about how it's not the product conversation, it's the passion conversation. So this book here basically leads or begins where that book left off. And it is talking about how when people talk about a brand, about a cause, about a group, there is something that that compels them to talk. It's something that triggers a passion inside of them, gets them to say good things or potentially bad things about a brand, a business, or a cause. And so that's really where this book began. However, the true origins began when Gino and I read some very interesting academic research.
John and I kind of stumbled on a document that I really don't know how. I think maybe Ed Keller and Brad Fay had mentioned it in a blog post. It was really just a little tiny reference to a paper called Own Brands and Word of Mouth. What we saw was that it fit our belief. John and I both have similar beliefs in word of mouth and being pretty pure about it. And this kind of supported that. It was about what the motivational triggers are of why people talk and share on behalf of a brand.
Your approach to word of mouth and just the whole title, The Passion Conversation, and using the term conversation, because a traditional approach to word of mouth marketing will be to do the so-called sparking of word of mouth and getting people to talk about you and to say things about you, not necessarily to have these deep conversations. And in the case studies that you guys have in the book, these are deep conversations. This is not what most businesses might think of word of mouth as in, boy, that place really rocks or they're so friendly, you know, something like that. This is much deeper, I think.
It is, though, but now keep in mind the subtitle of a book is Understanding, Sparking, and Sustaining Word of Mouth. And with that, a lot of these conversations that are in the book that we talk about, that's about sustaining the conversation. That's where that conversation truly gets personal. Now, we take a look at trying to spark the conversation. Some of the studies we saw, it's pretty basic for what can spark a conversation about a brand or a cause. And that can be a functional conversation. And that is where you're talking factual nuts and bolts types of information. Part two of that can be an emotional conversation. And that is where you have the extremes of either being happy, sad, love, hate, awe, or shock, something on the edge that really triggers anxiety or let's say awe, on the edge can spark a passionate conversation about a brand or a cause.
And that leaves the social motivational trigger, which is to me, the one that, I mean, I think they're all fascinating, but I think the social one is super fascinating because what they hit on, and this was one of those geeky research words that actually John and I both felt was so sticky, because when we heard it, we couldn't get it out of our minds, and we noticed it really every time we turned around. And that is the whole idea of that we socially signal. We signal about things that are unique, that show our expertise, that we show how we share a passion with other people. It's all around us. It's your Starbucks coffee cup you walk around. It's that you decide to be a moleskin user. You're walking around with that. Maybe you wear Patagonia clothing. Maybe you're always wearing Tom's shoes. It could be that you're tattooed. That's a social signal. It's like me. I drive a Mini Cooper. That's a social signal. I think the challenge with anything is to make sure this isn't an ABC, but as John and I, hypothetically have said, and as we work through the process of the book, is that we think the best brands do a little bit of all three.
Understanding the conversations are one thing, right? So we have the functional, the emotional, the social. I know you don't want to do an ABCs, but we understand it, but maybe our previous understanding, what I was trying to get at here is our previous understanding is just get people to say something about you. And what you're talking about here is having a more passionate conversation, a deeper conversation about a business. Isn't that what you're doing?
In a way, yes. Because what we're talking about here is that we are using the word love. And the word love is that if a brand expects customers to show a brand must show customers love to begin with. Because a brand isn't worthy of receiving love before they start showing love. And so there is something about this idea of love in sparking a passion conversation.
We believe that we're in the marketing business, and that's what you were saying about leading up to getting people to talk. We just want you to talk. We're going to create noise. We're going to invade your personal social media channels. Because that's what they are. They're people's personal channels. And we fail to find a lot of times what binds that customer to what it is that we do, the brand, the service, the product, the organization. And really, it kind of goes to what we say in the book, and that is that that we want you to kind of rethink that you think you're in the marketing business, but you're in the people business. And if you're in the people business, that means you're in the love business, because you don't want people to hate you and the products you have. You don't want them to just like it, because that's when you fall into that category, nobody talks about you. They might talk about you in a negative way, but where it really comes in is that we're in the love business.
So you guys mentioned love a lot in the book, and you're mentioning it here in the conversation. So you talk about loving your customers and loving you. And when you use that word love, I mean, it has a big connotation to it. Loving your customers is something that may be a little strange to some businesses, and definitely to marketers. Doesn't that really just have to naturally occur? Don't you really just feel something for your customers, and your customers feel something for you? Or can you just decide to start loving on your customers?
So for us, love means getting personal. It's getting personally involved with your customers, wanting to know what they're passionate about, wanting to know how, where, and why they use your product. It's not just about trying to leverage customers to gain or to grow your sales. It's about helping customers, helping people become better people through utilizing your products or your services. And I know that can be sometimes you're going like, but wait a minute, how can you do this for a boring product in a certain way? And yes, if you're in the B2B business, that can be somewhat challenging. However, a person can become more respected at work because they help a company achieve greater sales through buying a certain product. And so they can become passionate about that, knowing that it helps to raise their self-esteem. And so when you really look at this idea of if you are wanting to be in the marketing business, we really believe that you must first love people, because if you don't, then you're going to fall into what we kind of consider to be check the box mentality of thinking that engaging with customers basically means go on Twitter, have an account. Engaging with customers means getting a like on Facebook. That right there is, to me, in a way, very superficial. And instead, those companies that are both endearing and enduring, they form personal relationships with their people, that is, their customers.
And JD, are you a Back to the Future fan at all?
Yes. Movies?
Okay, so think about George and Lorraine in the whole situation that, of course, Marty was the one that accidentally got hit by the car, and so Lorraine fell in love with Marty, who was her son, so there was a problem. So for Marty to try to save himself, and that is to get George and Lorraine hooked up, he set it up to where he gave him this whole speech that he was supposed to give at the diner. And remember, he got out and he said, "Lorraine, you're my density." And what he meant to say was destiny. and to John's point, what has happened, we believe, and we see it a lot, because the reason we're staying in business is that there's a lot of folks out there that have some issues with connecting with their customers. They're doing wonderful, wonderful things, but we're sometimes using these tools like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Vine, whatever it may be, to make it easy to have a conversation, because we've a little bit lost that ability to communicate face-to-face, one-on-one, that love language of marketing. And that's what Womology is all about. If we have a better understanding of why people share and talk about what we do, if we understand their functional, social, emotional, instead of it being artificial, it's authentic. And that's, you know, the story of George is that he had to try to manufacture what to say to convince Lorraine. And like we sometimes do in social media, we get the word screwed up.
And to kind of play off of that, it takes time. Yeah. You can't just say one line to get someone to fall in love with you. No, it is over time. You have to become more endearing to someone, much like
courtship.
George. Yeah, yeah, courtship, exactly. Much like George and Lorraine had. It took time. All of a sudden, boom, it kind of clicked. Wait a minute. There's something between the two.
Trivia question for you guys. You brought it up. What's the future date where Doc and Marty fly to in the future, where there are flying cars? When are we supposed to get our flying cars?
August 16th, 2020.
You just made that up, John. October 21st, 2015.
Oh!
Wrong. Okay.
Which is creeping up on us. That should be a great anniversary.
I know. We should be seeing the prototypes of the flying cars at any day now.
You know, and actually, but that's a good transition. Because one thing that we talk about here is back in 1966, mm-hmm. someone wrote a piece on word of mouth marketing that was brilliant then and it's brilliant today. Mr. Ernest Dichter, a psychologist who actually did a lot of amazing things in the advertising world. He's credited for creating the focus group. He was a consultant and helped mega brands back in the 50s connect better with their customers. And what he wrote in this Harvard Business Review piece explaining very succinctly saying that if a brand is to really make a connection and to spark word of mouth, they must speak to the customers like a friend. This was back in 1966. He says that they must speak to customers as if they are a friend.
You know that research is invalid because it didn't first appear on Facebook.
Yes, it was actually printed on a which
paper? What's that?
Get this. I had to go to the library, dig it up, and riffle through microfiche, put that on the glass. Get it just so you get it. You remember going back to the library on the
computer? I've done that before. Yes.
And if you want to print it off, great. You have to be careful because on the glass plate, it'll always slip just a little bit.
Yeah. I want to see if maybe we can make this a little bit more digestible, because we've been talking some pretty big concepts to me, is loving your customers and these relationships and things like this. What if we're not that interesting of a business? We're not all Love 146s. We're not all Foundations Recovery Networks. What if we're just a computer networking company, or we're a dry cleaner or something like that? Speak to me. Can we still have these passion conversations with those types of businesses?
I say absolutely. I was going to say hell yeah, but I think you.
Well, I think you just did, but that's yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Well, you know, because I'll take it, you know, what you said. You know, Foundations Recovery Network, which is in the book, addressed a problem that was really interesting in the beginning, because the problem there was dual diagnosis of mental illness and drug addiction, which are both very silent conversations that are held in back rooms and dark corners. We had to break a stigma just to get a conversation started. The conversation was part of the stigma. And so, you know, that was, you know, part of it is getting people to the table. If you're a dry cleaner, you control in a way, or your touch point there is something that is so insanely personal to people, their clothing. And so I think a lot of times what you've got to do is look at the product and look at turning that into a touch point, which is what we say as we say, it's not the product conversation, it's the passion conversation. And so it can happen in a dry cleaner. It can be putting a thank you note in the clothing when somebody gets back that you've tucked it into a pocket. And it could, you know, it could be a thank you note for, you know, thank you for trusting us with this jacket. You know, that's a conversation starter. You know, they can be very, very simple things. It doesn't have to be, like you said, deep and elaborate. And that starts a conversation that's related to that person's passion, their clothing, or, you know, maybe it, something else.
Yeah, and to kind of pick up on that, I mean, because really, as I started to tease out a little bit in this podcast, is this idea that how can a B2B company spark a passion conversation? Well, I think you certainly can. And there was one company in particular that I talk a lot about, and I think they do a heck of a job doing this. That's Rackspace out of San Antonio, Texas. Rackspace is basically dealing with data hosting, cloud stuff. It is a very commodified product, so to speak. And usually it's competing on the lowest possible price. What Rackspace has done is they actually, from day one, they built their business on delivering customer service. And they call it the fanatical customer support. And their whole concept is this, and they tell their customers this. They cannot promise that their hardware will not break, that something won't go wrong. But what they can promise is if something breaks, if something goes wrong, they're going to step up, react, and fix it. And so what ends up happening here is that companies, people at companies have these direct relationships with a person at Rackspace who is their go-to person. And lo and behold, because there was this direct connection, this big company, Rackspace, has this direct connection through people, through a person to a person at a smaller company. And they clearly know that they have a team there that's going to respond to them. And so it is a very functional concept. However, it can become very emotional when you get two people involved who end up becoming pals or friends, knowing that if indeed I have a problem, I just call George at Rackspace and he's going to solve it.
Well, how can we give businesses or marketers representing businesses a shove in the right direction? Because in your case studies in the book, you have, we tell these amazing stories, but they involve some advocate groups or some advocate communities, such as the Heroes in Recovery for the Foundation's Recovery Network, the Fitness Rebels for Anytime Fitness, and then the Driven Class for DeVry University. Is that type of community or that type of conversation necessary, or is there a different starting point or a different angle that we can go at this?
I'll kind of chime in here to begin with. I think to me, it matters about trying to spark the conversation. And there's got to be something, be it something factual, something emotional, or something social to spark that conversation. Once that conversation has been sparked, then it is this opportunity to say, now, where can we take this? And I am someone who believes for anything long lasting, you got to make this conversation emotional. You've got to get someone to have feelings, strong feelings about a brand or a cause to make this thing last longer. Go to coffee, Starbucks coffee. It is a functional product. It's coffee. It's a roasted bean. But what ends up happening, though, is that it becomes an emotional conversation because people all of a sudden feel better about themselves because they have this little luxury. They have all the feelings of what coffee and what connecting to people over coffee mean to them. They probably had some very personal conversations with someone over coffee. And lo and behold, it becomes more than just a commodified product. It becomes in a way, a passion and experience. And they want to then have more of those conversations with that brand that has allowed them to have something in their life that they can feel passionate about.
I think, you know, the case studies you were just talking about in the book all had different challenges. I think what we forget about, because now word of mouth is a discipline. In the beginning, when John and I first got involved at WOMA and actually met at the first WOMA marketing conference, back in 2005, you know, social media, I mean, Friendster was on the stage. That's how long ago it was. It wasn't Facebook. It was it was Friendster.
Friendster.
Yeah. So how about that?
I know. So, and that was only 8 years ago. We're talking like that's like ancient history now, you know.
But what we have forgotten, and it goes to those case studies, is that you know at the heart of word of mouth, it's about earning a recommendation from a person. That person is really the symbol of what word of mouth is all about, because a person uses their mouth to spread word of mouth. You know, and now they do use their fingers today on keyboards, on tablets, on, you know, on smartphones. But, you know, we keep forgetting that there's a person before there's technology. They might use the technology to type in a review or to say something or to reach out, but it's still, there's a person behind all that. So, you know, for us, in the way that we do, we dig in. We are our insight, our knowledge sharing process. We dig in on both sides. We dig in on the client side and understand what's going on there from the bottom to the top. And then we measure that by going out and seeing what's going on with the customer. So do they mirror? And by doing that, you do naturally find hand raisers, whether it is a difficult conversation around drug addiction. In the case of Anytime Fitness, is changing a fitness conversation that's been the same year after year after year, and yet only 15% of Americans are a member of a gym. There's something wrong with that conversation. We need to change it and make it more personal and more face-to-face. So, you know, that's, you know, how I think those case studies are different, but they go to what we're saying is that every company, whether you are a dry cleaner, a plumbing company, you're a computer network consulting company, you probably have, hopefully, if you're in business, you have some people that love what you do for them. Those are hand raisers. Have a conversation with them. Show them you want to know what they have to say, and then ask them if they want to raise their hand, turn it into a testimonial. There's a lot of things you can do with that. They can become an advisory board, you know, for your clothes. I mean, who knows? What the hell? They can do anything.
Well, Gino, you touched on this, so let's just kind of wrap the conversation up in that direction. And you address this in the final chapter of the book, is the need to measure and the metrics of word of mouth. We need more Facebook follows. We need more followers on Twitter and LinkedIn and all this other stuff. And so word of mouth has become sort of a measurable thing. But in one of your case studies, the Heroes in Recovery story, you quote someone from the company that says they're not trying to make everyone their customer. They're just trying to get everyone interested in what they're advocating. And so how do you sell that to a business? It's not all about like, I get 20 conversations and I get 3 pieces of business from those 20 conversations. How do you sell that? How do you say, go for that. Go for just the conversation and not necessarily the business that results from the conversation.
That's a great question. What are we going to measure? You know, what are the goals and objectives? In the case of what you said there with Heroes in Recovery, that came out of insight. And it was that we were actually doing the internal insight and sitting down with the folks that are call intake people. And they only have enough beds for a fraction of the millions of people that need help. So they can either say, I can't help you, or they can do the right thing. And their staff was doing the right thing. So why not address that and get some good karma and some goodwill of casting a net to be a support for people out there in the middle of the night looking for help? Whether we can help them, that's great. If we can't, we're going to find somebody that can. And they believe that that is going to be good for the people they're serving. Now, you can call that super holistic and all kinds of things, but doing business right and purposeful is going to be profitable.
Mr. Henry Ford said, a business that makes nothing but money is a poor business. And if a business is out there solely to make money, it's going to fail. It just is, because money becomes the driver of everything. We believe in the businesses that we do business with. We really believe that we try to associate with those causes and businesses that want to make meaning more so than making money. Knowing that if they can make meaning, if they can make a positive difference in someone's life, ultimately, they're going to become richer for doing that. Most likely, that's going to mean become a more profitable business, yes. But really, for any business that wants to have a long-term success, they need to find a way to go beyond just making money, but finding ways to make meaning in people's lives, knowing that that is the only sustainable way for a business to keep on growing decade after decade.
The book is called The Passion Conversation. John Moore and Gino Church are two of the co-authors. If we want to learn more about The Passion Conversation, get the book. Where can we go?
You can go to any fine bookseller. You can go either online or offline, so Barnes & Noble, Amazon. And if you want to learn more about Brains on Fire, just go to Google, type Brains on Fire. You'll find us. Or you go to brainsonfire.com/blog. And if you want to buy bulk copies of the book, we highly suggest you visit our friends at 800-CEO-READ.
Cool. John, Gino, thanks for sharing the passion conversation with us.
Jay, thanks for sharing the passion with us.
You can find all the show notes for today's episode on powertothesmallbusiness.com. That's where you will also find ways to subscribe to the show by email and by iTunes. I'll have all the links, all the show notes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. I'm on the road this week in Scottsdale at the BOLO Digital Marketing Conference. That stands for Be on the Lookout. Should be lots of fun. I'll have some podcasts and blog material. And so let's agree to meet back here next time for more passionate marketing conversation right here on The Big Show.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arendt, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspot.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Our thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of The Big Success Show for the opening and closing credits of the podcast. You can find Mary Lynn at The Big Success Podcast, BIGGSuccess.com.